5:06. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, a look at the latest from Detroit as Canadian donors bring water relief to people who have had their utilities cut off by the city.
First, in the 19th century, doctors used to tell their patients to go to the seashore to recuperate. They may not have been so far off. Our next guest says proximity to water, oceans, lakes, rivers, has a scientifically proven record for improving creativity, health, and our sense of compassion.
Wallace J. Nichols joins us now. He's a research associate at the California Academy of Science and founder-director of Ocean Revolution. He's the author of the new book, Blue Mind. Jay, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So you've coined this term, blue mind. What does it mean?
Well, it's a shorthand for the feeling you have when you step up to the edge of the water, where you feel relaxed, where you feel clear, where maybe you feel more connected to the person that you're with. And it's just an overall good, happy feeling that many of us have when we go on vacation or at the end of a long day when we take a break by a lake or a river, or in the case of us out here in California, by the ocean. So we just call that overall state of mind, blue mind.
It sounds like something sort of intangible, just sort of a general feel-good feeling that people get when they're near water because it's relaxing. But you say there's actual science behind the idea of blue mind. What do we know about why water is good for us?
Yeah, we used to think it was intangible. And then, you know, we entered the modern age of neuroscience, or the golden years of neuroscience. And now we're able to look inside the brain and check out our brain chemistry, look at our physiology. And if we want to spend a little more money, put people in the lab and have a look at their brain patterns. And what we find is that when you're standing in front of blue space, when you're standing in front of water, your heart rate slows, your breathing rate slows, you relax a bit more, your brain produces a set of feel-good chemicals. And that's in contrast to what we call red mind, which is the agitated state that we're often in throughout the day with deadlines and emails and perhaps traffic or screaming kids, and stepping out of that red mind into blue mind and just relaxing for a bit changes our chemistry, changes our bodies, changes our brains, and we can do certain things a little bit better, such as creativity, insight, innovation, perhaps writing poetry or coming up with a brand new idea. A lot of people throughout the ages have found that sitting in the bathtub, floating down a river, or maybe bathing in the ocean has opened them up to new ways of thinking. And now we're understanding exactly how that works.
So it's not just oceans. Obviously, you know, the ocean is a majestic example of what water can be, but you're saying the benefits are there for lakes, for rivers, for streams.
Yeah, absolutely. So I went to high school in Illinois next to Lake Michigan, and I know that in Wisconsin, you know, with the 15,000 lakes and 84,000 miles of river, a lot of people are spending time next to those kinds of bodies of water and getting their blue minds on. And the key message is, if the lakes and the rivers and the oceans and the bays are not healthy, we won't get our blue mind on. We'll go there and it'll make us sad. It'll make us maybe a little edgy because we remember those places being places we could swim or recreate. And when that is taken away from us, not only do we lose the ecological benefits of healthy waterways, but we also lose the cognitive and emotional and social benefits of those waters. And that's really the underlying message, I think, of the book.
So this is really about also conservation, about why humans should care about water beyond just the fact that we don't want pollution. You're saying it physiologically affects our well-being.
Yeah, if you imagine your town with its lakes and rivers and ponds and perhaps coastlines, and imagine if you couldn't go there. Imagine if you couldn't access that water in a safe way. Imagine it was cut off from you and your family, or when you got there, it was in bad shape. You would lose more than just money. You lose more than just the ecological costs, which are both true. You lose all these other, often referred to as softer benefits. But in fact, they're what make life worth living. You know, we celebrate our weddings and funerals. We propose to each other. We have our best memories, our funnest moments in summertime, splashing around in water in many cases. and imagine that taken away. And I think that's a even makes our argument for healthy waterways even more powerful. And when we could put science behind these feelings, these emotions, these intangibles, it makes them more tangible and gives us a more powerful argument in policy settings for protecting our lakes and our rivers and our oceans.
Well, let's dig into some of that science. When we look at it from that perspective, what exactly happens inside our brains and our bodies, let's say, when we go for a dip in Lake Superior?
Well, you know, we know that cortisol is a stress hormone. We know that when we're under a lot of pressure and a lot of stress, our bodies produce cortisol, and that's really important. The red mind is a very important reaction to the world around us. But if we have sustained high levels of cortisol, sustained stress, that becomes toxic, and scientists and doctors refer to that as toxic stress. It interferes with our health, and 60% of modern diseases and illnesses are connected to stress. So as we become more and more stressed out and we're unable to manage it, we get sick or we don't heal. Now contrast that with the blue mind state. When you take a break at the end of a day or in the middle of a day or during the summer, during vacation, and you step out of the daily grind and you're able to relax and feel that water washing over you, go for a swim in the lake, then you're reducing your stress level. And that has massive implications for your health. Now, we can't do it every day. We can't be on vacation all the time. But we can find proxies for that feeling. So that may be taking a bath or having a photograph of that favorite water place on your wall or as a screensaver or going back and looking at videos from your vacation and sinking into that feeling once in a while and getting away from it all. Because we can't be out there all the time. Unless, of course, you're a marine biologist, you can spend a little more time on the ocean. So basically, cortisol management or stress management is a big part of it. But it goes beyond that. And when we're at the water, it holds our attention. And scientists and psychologists call that soft fascination. So water keeps our interest. You know, you talk to people and they'll sit by the water for their entire vacation, and you ask, what did you do? And they'll say, I just sat and looked at the water. I really love sitting and looking at the water, and it doesn't get boring. It's always changing, and it's always interesting. And throughout the day, it holds our attention, whether it's a river or a lake or the ocean. And it holds us in that relaxed state where our heart rate is lower, where our breathing rate is lower, where our blood pressure is lower. And that's really good. It holds you in that relaxed state. And when you're in that state, your brain shifts over to what scientists call the default mode network. And that's a brain network that is much, much more aligned with self-referential thinking, insight, innovation, and creativity versus the more active mode network that we're experiencing during the day where we're solving the problems that are right in front of us, where we're attending to the noise and the conversations and the emails, which is a much more active mode. Now we're in this what's called the default mode, and we're relaxing, and we're having some people describe it as a feeling of oneness. And it turns out when you have that kind of feeling, following that, you're much more likely to engage in empathetic or compassionate activities. You're much more likely to see yourself as part of the whole versus just a single individual. And so that's another outcome of this blue mind experience.
You make it sound meditative. And didn't I read that you said water meditates you? So instead of you trying to come at it from that approach, water does it for you.
Yeah, that's right. It's a mildly meditative state. And it turns out physiologically, it's similar to what happens when people meditate. Although you don't need to know how to meditate. All you need to know is where the water is and need to get out and experience it. So the water does meditate us.
We're talking right now with Wallace J. Nichols, a research associate at the California Academy of Science and founder-director of Ocean Revolution. He's the author of the new book, Blue Mind, the surprising science that shows how being near, in, on, or underwater can make you happier, healthier, more connected, and better at what you do.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Maybe as you enjoy the summer, heading out to lakes, rivers, or out to an ocean, do you notice what our guest is talking about? Do you feel happier? Is your brain happier when you're near water? Why do you think that is? And tell us where you go to get that blue mind. Call 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or email talk@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation after a look at the news with Kristen Durst. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're talking with Wallace J. Nichols, a research associate at the California Academy of Science. He's got a new book out called Blue Mind.
And we want to hear from you. What does water do for you when you're on the ocean, the river, the lake, the stream? Do you feel calmer, happier, nicer? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email talk@wpr.org.
I'm going to go to our phones now and take Sherry from Milwaukee. Hi, Sherry.
Yeah, hi. I was listening to the conversation with great interest. I recently learned to swim, or swim better, I should say, this last summer, and I'm going to do a sprint triathlon in August.
Oh.
So I've been practicing swimming, and I always try to explain to people that I feel like the water stays with me all day. You know, when the days that I swim, I feel it's indescribable, but I feel the water with me all day. I feel at ease. I feel more comfortable, and it's a feeling that stays with me for the entire day. And also, the days that I swim, if I run the next day, my asthma is better. It's not as bad. So I find that interesting, too. So I don't know how the water helps that. But I hate getting wet, but I love once I'm in the water.
Oh, Sherry, thank you so much for sharing that. You're making me want to go swimming. I bet that sounds familiar to you, Jay.
Very familiar. You know, you hear the same thing. You have friends that surf out here in cold water. And sometimes they say, you know what, I'm not even enjoying surfing in this cold water, but when I get out of the water, I feel so good all day that it's worth it. So it's kind of a therapy. And sometimes you just, you know, you swallow that pill, you get in the water, the blue mind pill, and then you have the benefits that last all day, sometimes all week. And surfers call it the surfer stoke. And I imagine there's a similar term for swimmers in Wisconsin to that. Yeah, for sure.
Jay, isn't there a program that uses water therapy with veterans?
Yes, we work very closely with several organizations, and one of them is called Heroes on the Water, and they use kayak therapy and kayak fishing as a way to get veterans sort of outside, in motion, and on the water. And, you know, if you've ever been kayak fishing, you know that you do spend a lot of time sitting on the water, neither kayaking nor fishing, but waiting. And that time is very relaxing. And for folks with post-traumatic stress, that's really important to be able to relax. There's another group called Operation Surf, and they use surfing and teaching veterans to surf as a way of doing the same thing. And some of the men and women who participate in these programs report that they sleep for the first time that night after these activities, that they're much more relaxed, that they can consider at least dialing back some of the medications that they're on and reducing their dosages and reducing the side effects that some of those prescription drugs can cause. And so I'm always very careful to point out this is certainly not a silver bullet solution to all of the modern ills and the things that keep us awake at night. But over and over, we hear stories from really all corners of society that being out on or in the water, even near the water, does help them live a better life. So something to consider.
Thank you for that call. And we're going to go next to Bob in Green Bay. Hi, Bob.
Hello. I just wanted to call in, and listening to the program, I absolutely, unequivocally agree with the blue mind theory. I just wanted to say quick that I worked about 5-6 years corporate America. I absolutely felt the red mind And I kind of snapped. I went out and bought a sailboat, moved on to a boat. Now I live on the water in Florida, and it is the best move I've ever made in my life.
Huh. That sounds pretty great. So what is it about being on the boat, Bob, that you feel?
I just, everything that is mentioned before, calmness, heartbeat flows down. As soon as I step onto the boat and everything kind of flows with the water, the ebb and flow of it, blood pressure drops instantly. So now I'm to the point where I don't even like getting on land. I just prefer staying on my boat the whole time. It's wonderful.
Hmm. Fantastic. Well, thank you for sharing that, Bob. And Jay, not everyone can live on a boat. You know, in Wisconsin, we run into some ice issues. But
right.
What are some ways we can get near to the water and enjoy some of what Bob's got?
Well, certainly seasonally, you know, that's an activity that everyone can work to participate in. And I think one of the keys is to always try to take someone with you, maybe someone who doesn't have a boat or has never really thought of checking out the Great Lakes and rivers. It also reminded me, I was hoping somebody from Green Bay would call in because my mom grew up in Green Bay and she's had a lifelong fear of water. And it was just kind of strange considering the work that I do. And recently at her 50th anniversary, we were all together in Hawaii with my mom and dad, and my daughters and I got her into the ocean for the first time in 50 years.
What happened?
Really. And she was very nervous. But my daughters and I held her up, and she floated on her back. And I have to say, I've never seen her so relaxed in my entire life. She just floated on her back in this nice, warm Hawaiian ocean, and it was a great moment. And she wants to get back. She wants to get back in the ocean. She's always loved sitting and looking at the water, but never wanted to get into it, due to some early life experiences in pools and lakes, and that didn't go so well, kids jumping on her and stuff. And she has had a lifelong fear of water, but now she's back and a little bit later in life, but we'll see her in swimming a little bit more than we have for the past 50 years. So.
Oh, that's a fantastic story. And let's go next to Joe. Joe is joining us in Prairie du Chien. Hi, Joe.
Hi. I'm a scuba diver, and I completely agree with this whole idea. It's wonderful to be underwater and just completely buoyant or neutral. But my question would be, you mentioned blue in your research, and does the sky have the same effect? Or is it the fact that we're terrestrial beings and water's a liquid in an unfamiliar environment that creates this effect?
Really good questions, Joe. I'm glad you brought up the color blue. Jay, what does that have to do with it in the
sky?
That's
a great question. And I think one of the observations is not all water looks blue. You know, some of the great places to swim are brownish or greenish, or sometimes swimming at night, you know, it's anything but blue. And so it is the color. You know, there's lots of research on color psychology that suggests that blue light does have an effect on our brains. That's different from other colors and other qualities of light. So looking at the sky, particularly if it's a clear blue sky, is appealing. But one of the things you lose when you're looking at a solid color, say a blue wall or a blue sky or a blue screen, is the dynamic interaction. So the water is changing. So it's not just the color, although it is the color. It's also the sound. It's not just the sound and the color. It's also the feel. And it's that dynamic, the light bouncing off of the surface of the water, creating this changing kind of mosaic of color and light. So it's all of these things put together. But to understand them, in the book, we kind of unpack it, and we take on each of the senses. We take on each of these elements, and then try to wrap it all back together into this concept we call blue mind. So you can have these kinds of feelings like taking a hike in the forest or climbing a mountain and looking at the vista. And we find that people have a lot of happiness and get a lot of joy and have a lot of stress reduction hiking in the forest. And it's even more if the forest has a creek or a river or a lake or the destination of that hike is water. So yes to green space, yes to open sky, yes to stars and moon, and add water to that situation. Looking at the stars, looking at the sunset, looking at the sky by the water, even better. So, you know, we kind of joke a bit and say, just add water to any situation, and it'll make it more fun. So if you have a balloon, it's fun, but if you have a water balloon, it's really fun. And it just changes the party.
Oh, fantastic. We're going to leave it there. Jay, thank you so much for joining us today.
I'm really, really happy to speak with you, and great calls from your listeners. Thank you.
We've been speaking with Wallace J. Nichols. He's a research associate at the California Academy of Science and founder-director of Ocean Revolution and the author of the new book, Blue Mind, the surprising science that shows how being near, in, on, or underwater can make you happier, healthier, more connected, and better at what you do.
We need to get a creek or a lake involved in the show, like either host on a beach or get them to build a creek through here, through Vilas here.
I'm sure that
sometimes that's happened accidentally, but that's another story. You know, when it was flooded. Anyway, I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.